He says it isn't that people have lost God or don't believe in God, but they have no need of the church. They've no need of dogma to help them to live their lives. And it isn't really a bitter book. He doesn't say anything against the existence of God. In fact, he's very sarcastic and mocking about Richard Dawkins, the man who wrote The Selfish Gene and The God Delusion, and Christopher Hitchens, who wrote the book God Is Not Great. They're really targets throughout the book. He sneers at them. Mm-hmm. And I didn't find it a bitter book. He mocks Father Vincent Toomey. He mocks the Archbishop of Dublin. Particularly, he gets angry at them for saying that without a belief in God, you can't be moral. You know, he says, if secularists are all immoral, why aren't they all in jail, you know? Mm.
But in the past, if we just talk about the church of the past, that the church was very dominant in people's lives, it really did explain to them how to behave.
Absolutely. People were governed from birth to death. You know, I remember my mother, there were six of us in our family, and she was always knitting and sewing for us. But she was worried about doing this on Sunday because you wouldn't wash a car if you had a car on a Sunday or mow the lawn or anything like that. So she went to confession and she asked the priest, could she knit on Sunday? So he told her no, she couldn't, because that was useful, but she could do embroidery on Sunday. Now, this kind of control, people have no idea. And a point he makes is that Ireland was, in those days, fundamentalist. And we talk now about Saudi Arabia and Iran and so on. I remember going up to communion and a big line of people in front of me, and all of the women were wearing scarves. And one woman went up to communion and the priest spotted that she had rollers in her hair under the scarf. And he snatched the scarf off her head and said, how dare you approach the altar like that? It's like what mullahs do now in Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. So one hopeful thing in the book is that he says if religion could collapse so completely in Ireland so quickly, it could also happen very quickly in these fundamentalist countries as well.
Mm-hmm. But in getting rid of that kind of religion and that kind of practice, which is no harm that it's gone, what else has gone as well?
Well, he argues that morality isn't gone, that people haven't really abandoned spirituality, that they're still moral people. And he says they use the church for their own purposes. It isn't like when there was the Reformation in the 16th century. There hasn't been a big schism or a breakup. They just go along. They use the church for their own purposes. And as he said, you know, you go to a mass or say a funeral mass for somebody and you have all these young people there who don't attend church or meeting, but they all file up to communion. And he said, are they doing that because they have no feeling for the value of the sacrament, or do they have some residual feeling that this is something important to do?
Mm-hmm. Now, what does he say that caused this? Was it, you know, you talk about the past and that kind of fundamentalist approach there was to religion. But for young people today who never knew that because it never was part of their lives, they've no connection at all.
I don't recall him talking specifically about young people, but in talking about people generally, he says it isn't that there is a lack of God in people's lives. And he said that they're very spiritual and they have a need of something. They're looking for meaning. What they want is to find happiness at the core of their lives. But he says they're not finding that in dogma-based religion. And he says maybe the future is that will be found in poetry or in literature or even in songwriting. Or he mentions the kind of person like Celine Vatinel, the woman who has said for many, many years that she has a vocation to the priesthood. One of the things he's wondering about throughout the whole book is how did it happen so easily? If it mattered so much to us, and it did appear to matter to us, how could it collapse so quickly and so painlessly, really? And he really doesn't answer that. He gives lots of different ingredients, like Humanae Vitae, which was the first time that lay people really, really felt that they knew better than the Pope and the priests. And of course, many priests left too because they felt that they knew better. So that was perhaps the first time that an educated Catholics were saying, I will not serve. And, you know, a bit like a teenager who says, no, I'm not coming home at 11 o'clock. Once you say, I don't agree, you're wrong, it changes everything. He also says, maybe we were never that devout anyway. And he says things like, you know, people going to the missions where they were going to have the fire and brimstone sermons from the Redemptorists especially. And people would be, you'd be going along and people say, ah, you'll get a good lashing tonight. So that, from the priest. Mm. You know, so that at one level people were going and they'd come out and say, that was a great sermon. But how much did they really believe it in their hearts? Mm-hmm. And, you know, he talks like things like Loch Derg and Kirkpatrick. He said, is Kirkpatrick a spiritual experience or is it just a great day out?
So to sum up the book, Jenna, you say it's not a bitter book.
No, I found it a fascinating book. There's this exploration first of how real our religion was. And was it really governed by the fact that we were an agricultural society? And that we liked strict sexual mores because that meant that there weren't illegitimate children who might want to share the land. He talks about the divorce referendum and how exercised farmers got because it might mean that the farm would be split up. So there's it's very widely researched. And as you're reading it, for the likes of me, I kept remembering stuff and dying to talk to someone about it. And then he talks about the atheistic tradition and those two writers that I was talking about. And he really rejects their rejection of God as not that important because he says they're reducing it to, if God didn't create the world, then there's no God. And he says that is too simplistic. And then in the end, he does talk about the future. So it's a great read.